Welcome to episode 101 of The Trending Show. This is the show where we tell you what's been happening on the internet for the week of April 8th through today, April 14th. Welcome in, listeners. I'm Natalie Morris. He's Mikey Quackenbush. How are you today?
I'm all right. Well, just welcome to the podcast. You really can't come in.
Well, I guess you can come into my sphere. You can come into my life.
You can join our sphere for about a half hour once a week, but that's it.
Right. So you're in the group. You're in the know. Mm-hmm. You know what's been trending on the internet, then you're really in the know.
And that's why they come here. They want to know what's trending. They cannot be bothered to research it themselves, so let's tell it to them.
All right, because I did that for you. Let's start with Monday. We start with Google search terms that have been Google search terms that have been rising throughout the week, and we go through day by day. So Linda Perry started on Monday, April 8th. We've talked about her before. She is engaged to Sarah Gilbert, and she also was the lead singer of Four Non Blondes. You know who I'm talking about?
I do know the Four Non Blondes, as they might be my least favorite musical act of all time.
Really?
And I know that's tough with competition like Aerosmith and the Rolling Stones, but Four Non Blondes is right up there.
I'm not a big Aerosmith fan either, but I did, I have a school memory of Four Non Blondes. It was like the only dance I ever went to in high school. I had a nice time with a nice boy named Ryan Smith to that song. We did a slow dance.
So I guess I have to their awful song, What's Up?
It was, yeah, I know. The DJ played it as like a slow dance for teenagers, and we were like, yeah, okay, we're about this. It seemed like a moment. I don't know. You can ask Ryan Smith if he felt the same. But
I'll find him on Twitter.
He is my Facebook friend, but you're not on Facebook.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, yes. So she, I don't think they've had many hits since then, but she looks like a rock star. She looks kind of like Aerosmith, actually. Mm-hmm. So they got engaged. That's why she trended. Sarah Gilbert hosts the CBS show The Talk. She's one of the five talk hosts. So she came out about the relationship last fall. That's when Linda Perry trended then, but now she trended because Gilbert told the whole story of their proposal on the show. She said that she proposed in the park. It's going to be a little hard because I'm using she for both of them, because in case you haven't figured it out, they're lesbians. So I'm going to use the pronoun she twice. So she proposed to her in the park while a separate man, there is a man in the story, played Love Song by The Cure. Do you know the song I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. Yes.
However far away, I will always love you. Do you want me to keep going?
All right. Do you know more?
I do. I know a lot about The Cure. The Cure is my most favorite band of
what?
All time. I love The Cure.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I know everything about The Cure.
You know everything about The Cure. This is amazing to me.
Well, I wouldn't say I know everything about them. I'm not like you and Clayton. When I listen to the Grizzly Berry Cafe, you guys know like what your favorite artists did and what they dreamed about as children and what they eat for breakfast and what they have aversions to. The bands that I followed really religiously throughout my life, I don't know that much about them personally.
Mm-hmm. Other than The Cure, and I know that you feel like Shakira was just a phase that you went through, who else belongs in this category?
Lale, Mana, 10,000 Maniacs, I had a big thing for them.
Really?
For a while. Maniacs. And Depeche Mode and Morrissey.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So, but like I said, I don't know very, like you mentioned Morrissey a couple weeks ago, and I didn't even know he lived in Los Angeles. I didn't know he lived in the U.S. at all. So you know more about Morrissey than I do, yet I, you know, went through a phase where I was very obsessed with him. I've seen him twice in concert.
Mm-hmm. Well, I prefer to collect trivia, I think, perhaps, as a way of looking at it. Like, you might be more familiar, for example, with all of the albums and everything else made by The Cure, but I might know some weird piece of trivia about them, you know?
Right, yeah. And, Erasure. Was a big...
Yes, I did know that you were a big Erasure fan.
I was big into Erasure. They're touring again, actually, this summer. I really want to go.
I've never seen them. Is it the quintessential two, or is it just...
No, it's
like
just Andy Bell.
Right, him with like the band they call Erasure behind him.
I don't think they're even titling it Erasure. I don't think he's even using that. But I think enough people know who Andy Bell is. And most people in the modern rock scene really... It was Andy Bell that was in the band with Depeche Mode, right, before they split off.
Right.
And so I know they talk a lot about how he was really influential in teaching them to write music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he went off and he's done a number of his own things, but he probably is, you know, best associated with the catalog of songs by Erasure.
Right, yeah. So do we care about this proposal? Do you want to hear how she proposed?
No, let's move on.
Okay. Do you think we're doing a disservice to our listeners who might want to know that she had t-shirts, one with each word that said Will, and then she took off the next t-shirt, you,
stupid.
And then the next t-shirt.
Moving
so
on.
Stupid. Okay, Fallon Fox. This guy trended on Monday, April 8th. You might know a little bit about this because it has to do with the UFC. Do you know about this story?
I'm aware of who he is, but why he was trending, no. But I know that he did become a big deal recently, so I'm sure it's tied to this.
Okay, so this is a transgendered person who, it's a little confusing. So she's a female now,
right,
Ultimate Fighting
But she
champion.
Used to be a male.
Right. Now, there was another Ultimate Fighter named Matt Mitrione who said some really ignorant and offensive things on a show called the MMA Hour. And because of this, she trended because he was just so inflammatory. He called her a him. He said, I'm not going to call her a she. She's not a he. He talked about beating up a girl. He told jokes about the transgendered community. It was very foul and insensitive. And so the UFC had to come out and say they do not condone this kind of thing. They find it very offensive. And they've suspended him.
Mm.
So, all right. What do you know about? Do you know who Matt Mitrione is? He's a heavyweight.
Mm-mm. No, you know, I have a cursory awareness of everything that goes on in MMA because I'm part of an industry that also includes a type of combat sport. But that's really about it. And I know that there was some controversy saying, I think this is part of what began all of this, was that this person who's now a woman but was previously a man wants to fight in MMA against other women.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, well, you know,
that's not fair.
For some reason. Now, I happen to come from the philosophy, equal rights, equal fights. Guys can fight girls. Girls can fight guys. Doesn't matter if you're heavyweight. Doesn't matter if you're lightweight. Doesn't matter if you're human or another species. I don't care what you are.
And if that does happen in Shakar. I've seen a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you want to fight, fight. But in the world of MMA, they see it very differently. They're really about, you know, they break it down into seven different weight classes or whatever it is, and they do divide up the fighters by gender. So I think that's kind of like at the crux of the controversy around this particular person. But, you know, it's kind of a – I think everybody probably have a different opinion on that.
Well, early listeners to The Trending Show will know that I feel very strongly about how gender is fluid, and if you want to identify with the different gender in which you were brought up – totally fine by me. I think, you know, I agree with you. If other people want to fight her, that's fine. You know, that's their choice. But nevertheless, you can't just go around saying offensive things like this. I'm sure this guy is so secure in his own gender that he can just say things like that.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, knowing how increasingly contrived MMA is, if they build up to a big fight between the two of them.
Oh, that would be good. That'd be good. I don't know. It would be really uncomfortable to watch, though, because, I mean, you know, so early in The Trending Show, we talked about Chaz Bono competing as a man and dancing with a woman when essentially that was two women dancing and people felt very uncomfortable with it. And so I think that this would just take it to the very next level.
Yeah.
Okay, Joel Osteen, do you know who he is? He's the big mega church preacher.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that's right. There was some big hoax about him this week.
That's right. So he was the victim of an internet hoax. Someone put up a fake website. They did spell his name wrong.
And, whoops.
But there was a fake Twitter account. So, you know, it was obviously a hoax, but you had to look close enough to see that it was misspelled. So they said that he's quitting his church. They were speaking on behalf of him. He was saying, I quit the church. I don't believe in Jesus, or I doubt the validity of the Bible. Osteen says this is not true. He is still very much a believer, and his people had to ring in too and say, this is not him. It's a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, did anyone say, oh my gosh, if Joel Osteen doesn't believe, then maybe I don't either?
Right, yeah. My belief is conditional on his. I'm out.
Right. So I don't know. They thought that this was a big deal. I didn't. I thought, well, there probably are many sites like this. I didn't think that it just must have popped up. It must have just somehow gained popularity.
I wonder who has time. Who has the time that they're like, this is what I'm going to do with my day today?
Apostates.
I don't know.
Okay. Farrah Abraham, she trended on Tuesday the 9th. She's a reality TV star from the MTV show Teen Mom. It came out that she staged a sex tape with porn star James Dean. That's spelled D-E-E-N. So she was going to pretend that it was leaked to the press and then pretend that she was mortified. But then it came out that she did it on purpose.
Wow.
And so the guy who was participatory in it says, you know, hey, they approached me to do this. And I said, heck yeah. So now they're going to release it for money and instead of pretending that it's a leak.
Oh, what a great marketing move.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, don't you think if I were to ask, well, I don't want to say you, but if I want to ask someone to do a fake sex tape with me, I probably would have them sign something saying that you can't, you have to say that it was legitimate consensual sex, mm-hmm. not sex for the purpose of promotion.
Right. I think,
which is the worst kind, in my opinion.
Let me just say, of all the kinds, you would think that recruiting a porn star would not be the swiftest move either, because invariably someone watching that is going to be like, I think I've seen this man's work before.
Right. Well, I think she wanted his popularity. You can't just get some dude in Vegas who's willing to sleep with you. And she also had, she went frolicking on the beach this week in a very, very revealing bikini. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
and she's
looks
a teen mom.
She,
that's her claim.
I think she
to infamy?
Was a teen mom. She's not anymore. Mm-hmm. I'd be so proud if that were my mother.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if maybe we could get a tag team MMA thing going. You know, we'll take the existing story that we have there relating to Fallon Fox, and then on one side we could get Teen Mom and then Octo Mom on the other side, because, you know, she'll fight for money.
Yeah, I know. Well, gosh, there's so much contrived news in the trends this week. So Ready for Love is something that trended on April 9th. This is NBC's new reality show. It's produced by Eva Longoria. And it is sort of a love competition where you compete against other people in order to win the prize of your significant other. Mm. So it debuted to really poor ratings this week, despite getting a big lead-in from The Voice. And The Voice does really well. But even despite that, the first couple of minutes went a little strong, and then people tended to turn it off. It only had 1.6 rating in the demo, which we've talked about before, is the demographic of adults between 18 and 49. So the purpose of the show is there's a matchmaker, professional matchmaker. Now, how you become that, I'm not sure. But that person is trying to find love for these three kind of handsome and upwardly mobile men. And each week, there are different girls selected to compete in various types of competition for the men. And then they just keep going each week until they find their true love. And then they can decide either they want to get engaged or they want to get married right then and there. Or they want to, I don't know, continue their relationship.
What kind of competitions are there? Like an obstacle course?
I don't think so, but I'm not exactly sure. I don't know if they have to, like, put together a bake sale or something.
Bake sale?
That's how you would win your heart.
Right, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how else we're going to figure this out. I would say bake sale, bikini car wash, obstacle course. Like, what could the content of that show possibly be?
I really don't know. I don't know at all. But I know that there's some kind of competition. And I think it happens in, like, one studio as well. Mm. So, you know, it's not like they go out and run marathons or whatever.
Right, it was a foot race. They hang the upwardly mobile man from a tree, and there's a foot race.
I don't know. They do something. I remember when I worked at the Oakland Tribune, someone had told me about it. We were doing a story about how reality TV was really taking off, and this was over a decade ago. So it was kind of.
So you were 12.
Yeah. So it was kind of an interesting story that reality TV was really taking over situation comedies. And a studio executive said, you know, we're getting so many wild pitches these days for reality stories, reality shows based on the success of Survivor. He said one person even wrote to the network and was like, here's my idea. We take real people and we put them in a football field and we put lions and tigers and animals in there and see if they can run from them. I'm like, what if they don't? Then we have to watch people get eaten gladiator style.
So that didn't get optioned?
No, it did not. Surprisingly.
Probably so. There was an animal rights group that was worried it'd be nasty to the lions. And.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of wild animals, do you want to talk about Cobra?
Oh, look at that segue. That was one of your most elegant to date.
Thank
I will.
You.
Both Natalie and I would like to ask you to take a minute out of your very busy schedule and visit Cobra.com. Now, you can name your browser of choice at Cobra.com. Makes no difference to us what browser you use. But we do need you to go there, and here's why. Every week, we here at the Grizzly Productions Network deliver to you, free of charge, great content like The Trending Show or The Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, where you'll find me, or even Mommy Beta. And in order for us to continue to do this absolutely free of charge, there's all kinds of costs we have to cover. It's just the simple reality of it. There's storage, and there's bandwidth, and other internet buzzwords that I don't understand. And we can't continue to pay the bills for those things. unless we have great show sponsors like Cobra.com. Now, when you head over there, you're going to find all kinds of great technological innovations that are designed for people who live on the go, just like you and I. Everything from state-of-the-art radar and laser detection to power adapters. They've got all kinds of accessories, CB radios, navigation, even marine navigation devices, and that's really just the tip of the iceberg. So, with a gift-giving season that includes moms and dads and grads right around the corner, we'd like to implore you, take a few minutes and head over to see our great show sponsors and longtime supporters, Cobra.com. We can't make this without them, and they don't continue to like us unless you go and see them. Cobra.com.
Do that. Okay, let's talk about Miranda Kerr. Is it, I think it's Kerr or Kerr. I'm not sure.
I think that's pronounced Obamacare.
No, Miranda Kerr. Kerr. She's the Victoria's Secret model who's married to Orlando Bloom. Do you know who she is?
No, but I do know who Orlando Bloom is.
Yeah, so I think it's spelled kind of like Deborah Carr was K-A-R-R. Remember the actress?
Okay.
Most of our audience, I wonder if they even know who Deborah Carr is. Any, nevertheless. So the news about her is that she's not leaving Victoria's Secret. It was reported by US Weekly that she would be. That's false. She's not.
What do you mean leaving? Like she's been trapped in the store for years?
That she'll be. Well, she has a $1 million per year contract with the lingerie label, which doesn't actually seem that much considering how much they sell and how much they really promote those catalogs. $1 million per year. I mean, I know it's a lot of money, but just in the world of professional media, that seems like it's not a huge contract.
But is she like the main Victoria's Secret
She's
model?
One of the main ones now. Yeah, she's, I want to say, one of the most recognizable faces of Victoria's Secret. Mm. She's really got their look, you know, the long kind of flowing brown hair that parts down the middle and obviously the body. So, yeah, she's not leaving. She's worked there since 2006. She's going to stay. Her contract is still up for renewal, but, you know, I guess they're saying she's going to renew it. Mm. I know other models have left them before because they just don't pay that well. Maybe they think it's just such a high-profile job that you don't need to be paid that much from the actual catalog that they can then get other modeling jobs off of that. Mm. I don't know. But I don't want to poo-poo $1 million. It's a lot of money, like I said. But I
yeah, you know, after taxes and everything else.
Right, and your contract and your agent. Okay, National Siblings Day, that was on Wednesday, April 10th. This was the 14th annual occurrence of National Siblings Day. It's just a day where you say nice things and honor your siblings, mostly by posting about them on your social networks. Now, this is not a federally recognized holiday, and the Sibling Day Foundation wants it to be because Mother's Day and Father's Day are both federally recognized holidays. The day was started back in the 90s by a woman who wanted to honor her brother and sister, both who had passed away.
Hmm.
So, did you say nice things to your brother and sister on this day?
In secret.
In secret.
I wrote
you
it on
sent
a
them
piece...
telepathic messages?
No, I wrote it on a piece of paper and gave it to a bird.
Uh-huh. Well, hopefully they got it in time.
I would think so. The bird seemed quite clever. Listen, this is the time when I introduce a segment that I call New Segment, and I surprise Natalie with it.
Oh, my gosh. That's so surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are we going to do?
Eventually, it's going to become Old Segment, and this is how it works. I have here two trending things on Twitter, and these I've found by swimming through hashtags. And that's kind of how people denote dialogues that they're having on Twitter. Did you know that, Natalie?
Mm-hmm, I did.
Oh, you did you? So one of these is a real thing that's trending right now. Right now. And the other one is not. Can you tell me which is which? Here's one of them. Ready? Hashtag sun worshippers. And the other is hashtag ice warriors. Do you know which of those is real?
I'm going to say sun worshippers because we're starting to get some sun here in the Northeast and maybe people are excited about going out.
Mm-hmm. And that would be a good bet. However, unfortunately, it is hashtag ice warriors, which right now is one of the top trending topics throughout the entire United Kingdom.
Okay, why?
Oh, you want to know why, do you? Well, I'll tell you. At first, I thought it had something to do with the rugby league of the Wigan Warriors, but it has nothing to do with them. It's because tonight's episode of Doctor Who features the return after a 39-year absence from the series, the antagonists, the Ice Warriors.
Oh,
in fact,
okay.
Just since we started recording this program, over 800 people have added to the dialogue on Twitter. They're very excited about hashtag Ice Warriors.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that new segment.
Are you going to watch Doctor Who tonight?
Probably not.
No.
No. I'm going to barbecue some salmon.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's on my agenda.
Okay.
Maybe I'll squeeze in some time. But you know, I'm into other things these days. I'm trying like mad to finish 30 Rock. I still have the sixth season to finish of that, and then I'm into that. What's it called? House of Cards. I want to see what happens there.
Yeah, that recently came up on another podcast that I host.
Yeah, so you know, I'm busy. I'm too busy.
I don't doubt that you're busy. All right, that's the end of news segment.
Okay, let's talk about Jay-Z open letter. This trended, that phrase. Jay-Z open letter on Thursday, April 11th. The White House had to address concerns about Jay-Z going to Cuba, or Cuba, if you want to say it like Americans. He rapped that Obama had given him and his wife Beyonce clearance to go. In the song called Open Letter, he says, now I'm just going to speak out loud the rap, which is, I guess, what rapping is, but I'm not going to do it with any kind of syncopation, so you'll excuse me for my lack of fun. I turned Havana into Atlanta, boy from the hood. I got White House clearance. Obama said, chill, you're going to get me impeached. You don't need this shit. Anyway, chill with me on the beach. Was that good?
All right. Well done.
So, yeah, that's not even very lyrical. Nevertheless, the press had to ask the White House if it were true, and White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said, no, it's a song. The president did not communicate with Jay-Z over the trip.
It's hard to believe that someone
would take a Jay-Z song literally, but I think people would because they're friends with Obama. It's so stupid. I'm going to call this the stupidest story of the week. Even more stupid than the non-leaked sex tape.
All right. I'm not going to argue with that.
All right. If you had to rank them in terms of stupidness, would you agree with me?
Yes. Yeah, I think it is the stupider.
Okay. The Masters is trending this weekend. Is the Masters golf tournament this weekend. And because Tiger Woods is back on top, interest is really peaking. And of course, CBS couldn't be more thrilled. They host the Masters. People are going to watch, and tickets have been going for as much as $10,000. Now, this is Woods' fifth run for a Masters title. And he is, again, ranked the number one golfer in the world after his very public fall from grace. So, you know, the public really wants to have permission to just watch him closely. So this is a good excuse for that. Although the last update I saw before we started to do the show was that he was in fifth place or something like that. He had some penalty that was controversial for dropping a ball somewhere. This is not where you should be getting your Masters news. The point is that people are watching Tiger Woods and they like it.
Mm-hmm.
So Tiger Woods is always in the trending show. He probably is one of the most appeared personalities, talked about personalities.
Maybe we should ban him. Maybe we should start to create a list of people that are simply banned. We will never discuss them again.
Oh, I don't know. That could preclude us from a lot of fun stuff. We have fun over Tiger Woods.
All right.
All right. Jonathan Winters, the actor, died this week at the age of 87 from natural causes.
He had died a long time ago.
No, he died just this week. He was known as a comedic actor. One of his more famous roles was being the child in the sitcom Mork and Mindy. He had 11 Grammys for Best Comedy Album. I didn't know that. They were released over the span of 50 years.
Wow. I am both shocked to learn that he remained alive and saddened to discover he recently died.
Yeah. So would you call him a character actor? I know I always talk about how I'm obsessed with the term character actor because I can't really wrap my head around
it. No, I don't fully understand it, no. But I do think of him as a comedian.
Okay. So you don't want to ring in on it. I'm going to have to ask Clayton. Every time we bring this up, then we're always in disagreement over who's a character actor. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Steve Buscemi is a character actor, and he says absolutely not. He's not a character actor. So I think I just don't understand what it means.
I don't think disagreeance is a word. I think you mean disagreement.
It can be.
I don't think.
You can put any kind of ending on a word and make it mean what you want it to mean. Like I'm computering right now.
Oh. Well, if you say so.
I do say so. Let's talk about some hashtags on Twitter. Hashtag why I hate Instagram was trending this week. It has people expressing their hatred for Instagram. This is the picture sharing social network owned by Facebook. And some examples include people use so many unnecessary hashtags. Like, do you really need 200 hashtags to explain a picture? This is something I do not get about Instagram. Like, why 50 hashtags every time you post a picture? People do that. And actually, you know, that was one of the main complaints why I hate Instagram. It was over and over again was about the hashtags. And then also people think they're photographers. You took that on an iPhone. Not hard to press one button. So, do you peruse Instagram?
Nope, I avoid it altogether.
Now, have you been on it?
No, I don't go on it. I wouldn't go there. But I, you know, I'm not as photo crazed, perhaps, as someone that you might be married to.
Now, if you were to participate in Instagram, what are the kind of things that you would post about your day?
Well, that's the thing. I just don't understand. Like, I have Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I would need Instagram.
It's to make a more visual representation of your day. So I have a piece coming up this week on the Today Show about therapy and journaling and sort of self-help apps. And so I've been studying these various apps, and there's one called something like everything.me or everyday.me, where you pull in your feeds from your social networks like your Facebook or your Twitter or your Instagram. And then basically that gives you a journal of what you've been up to. So, you know, if you're one of those who posts a lot, then you can go back to your journal and be like, oh yeah, that day I had a strawberry scone and a vanilla latte at this place. And then I went and I, you know, tried on some new shoes. And then I went to the doctor and had my pap smear. Like, you know, if you're a oversharer like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people do that in order to just chronicle their days because they think other people care a lot.
Hmm. I am content to remain on Twitter. I think a visual representation, you would need to have a day-to-day life that's far more exciting than mine.
No, you don't. That's the whole point. People put really mundane details about their unexciting lives on Instagram.
Yeah. Nah, I'll pass on that.
I think you should use your Twitter feed as if it were Instagram in this way for just 1 week. Just, you know, I think that would be fun for all of us who listen to you on the trending show in the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe to just hear you overshare for a week. Because you kind of undershare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your Twitter account, you know, you put what you're up to, where you're going to be wrestling, what podcasts are out and everything. But I want to hear, like, about when you can't get that McDonald's pie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. I think you should be... You know, although you do post a lot of vitriol about the Reading Eagle, but, you know, other stuff like that. I want more of it.
There's such a demand for my vitriol.
I think that you should do it just for a week and see what happens.
Well, you know, I will mention this.
Fellow trendies, tell him to do it. Ring in on Twitter and say, come on, just overshare for a week and we'll just see we'll hear what happens. Like, woke up, put on my shoes.
I think that would be obnoxious. I deliberately unfollow the people on Twitter that overshare. I would become that. I would turn into the monster.
Mm-hmm. Just try it. Just do it for a week.
That sounds like a big commitment.
Yeah. Like, ate some pizza, pulled off the cheese, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, that does happen.
All right. Well, speaking of cheese, National Grilled Cheese Day was trending because Friday was deemed National Grilled Cheese Day. Now, I couldn't find an official source for this, but I guess it's more like an online holiday. So people took to Twitter to celebrate. Mostly they did so by posting pictures of their sandwiches and inciting others to partake. Not only was Friday National Grilled Cheese Day, the foodies also deemed the entire month of April Grilled Cheese Month. So if you missed out, you can still be grilling that cheese.
A whole month.
Mm-hmm. For grilled cheese. Now, I know you don't like cheese, so I'm going to assume that you did not participate in this, although you could have, I guess, it's not the idea of cheese. Like, you wouldn't eat, like, a soy cheese or something that was not really cheese, right?
No, I wouldn't want that anywhere near me. Okay. Soy cheese? That sounds awful.
Like, you're not one of those, I don't eat cheese, but I'll eat the fake version of it.
No, although I do understand that when I was a child, I did eat Velveeta.
Mm-hmm, that's not cheese either.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I probably won't be eating any grilled cheese either. I don't eat carbohydrates.
You don't eat any carbohydrates?
I don't eat processed carbohydrates. I specifically don't eat bread. So I won't be making grilled cheese.
So you don't ever have a sandwich or anything like that?
Not really. It's rare.
No.
It's rare.
Oh, it's rare. So it does happen. It's just rare.
It may happen. I think I ate a sandwich last month at some point. But yeah, not very often. And I don't... you know, care so much about grilled cheese in order to participate in this. And that would be something you'd have to put on your Twitter, on your fake overshare Twitter. I'm going to start a Twitter account called Oversharing Mike Quackenbush.
Mm.
Didn't eat grilled cheese today.
Right. there is a fake, there's like a, it's like not Mike Quackenbush is the name. And uh-huh. I can only imagine how dull an existence that must be.
I had someone impersonate me on Twitter as well for a while. I don't even remember the handle, but it was really stupid stuff that made me seem so vapid. Like, oh, I'm going to do a piece on the early show. I'm going to get my hair done. People, tweezing my eyebrows. It was dumb. I don't know if I even sound like that. I think I talk about more interesting things, but it could be.
Yeah, I don't ever remember you talking about your eyebrows.
I think I did once post about my eyebrows on Twitter, but that was years ago. Okay, hashtag I dance when. This trend had users expressing reasons they feel like breaking into dance. Examples include, I put on my jeans and they fit looser. Yahoo! I'm drunk. Or this guy says, I only dance when I'm alone because I look like a constipated duck. Or the last one, my cat meows at me. That makes me dance. So is there anything that makes you dance?
No. No, I mean, maybe like if I was being attacked by bees.
That's not a dance.
You know, I'd be like, oh, God. And somebody's like, hey, what's up with that guy? He's got no rhythm.
You don't even dance when you're alone. You like music so much, but you never move your body when you're listening to it.
No, yeah, I can think of one instance ever. One time, many, many summers ago, your husband and I were front row at a David Byrne concert. And we were literally standing right underneath David Byrne. And he was playing a very danceable song of his called Miss America. And I began to dance, and it was over. And I looked around. I was like, I wonder if anybody saw that. And I don't think they did.
Okay, but since you've been going to all these Monkees concerts and you went to see Tears for Fears, so when you go to a concert, you stand there completely still with your hands glued to your side?
Sometimes, you know, you might get up and cheer and things like that, but that's not, I don't know, that's not really like a show where you dance.
Would you sway?
Maybe like a sway. All right. Yeah, you know.
Because that's considered dancing.
All right.
It's a physical expression of your feeling the music. Okay, I'm going to say you dance. All right. Overshare Mike Quackenbush has to participate in this hashtag later. Okay, and to wrap up the show, we have someone who is not dead this week.
Oh.
It is Cher.
I thought it was going to be John and the Winners. I thought it was a great swerve on an earlier story.
No, Cher is not dead. Now, the way this started to trend is really funny. I'm going to try not to.
So oh, boy.
Okay, all right. I haven't even told this story. I'm one of those obnoxious people who laughs before the punchline. So the hashtag started to trend, and it looked like now that Cher is dead. Well, it had nothing to do with Cher, actually. This was the day Margaret Thatcher died, and there was a website in Britain that asked how readers felt now that Thatcher was dead. And they said, please ring in with the hashtag now Thatcher is dead. But if you look at that closely, it looks like now that Cher is dead.
All right.
So, not now Thatcher is dead. So readers misread it to mean now that Cher is dead, and then that started to trend. So dumb. Mm-hmm. And people started to use that hashtag to express their condolences about Cher, and she had not died. This is like, I think this ranks number one on the stupid meter. It's so stupid. When I read this week, I just couldn't stop laughing. For some reason, this just really hits my funny bone. It's so stupid.
I like that story, though. I'm glad you saved the best for last.
It's good, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Even Ricky Gervais was tweeting about it, about how he thought it was so funny that people were tweeting about Cher's death when it meant Thatcher.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who probably thought Margaret Thatcher had been dead for a while, too.
You can finish the show. I can't stop laughing. That's all I got.
Well, that bastion of professionalism on the line is Natalie Del Conte Morris. Yes, indeed. She's the one who usually shepherds the conversation, and I'm going to shepherd her right off the stage. My name is Mike Quackenbush. When I'm not here, catch me with the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. I make that every week with her husband, Clayton. Publishes in midweek. We're going to have a doozy of an episode coming up for you, I guarantee that. And then Natalie and I will reconvene here in about a week's time to tell you what's up on the net with more of The Trending Show. And until then, trendies, adios.
Bye. Goodbye.